Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Are you satisfied that the issue has been resolved and that you're able to move past it as a group?
Yeah, we've dealt with it from my end insofar as it can be dealt with.
I'm not naive enough to think that Paul Maurice gave sat Evander Kane in a game of that importance because Kane broke a dress code. You know, maybe it's the 10th time he did it. Maybe it's because Kane was late last year. Maybe it's, you know, part of a much larger picture, you know, and this is a minor infraction that, and I say this in my column, that resulted in a pretty big piece. So I have a feeling that we're going to learn more.
Oh, boy, a battle out in Winnipeg. Welcome back. Hour number two, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo until 7 o'clock. That was Coach Paul Maurice, part of a media scrum earlier today in Winnipeg. That's our buddy Gary Lawless from Hustler and Lawless in Winnipeg, also writes for the Winnipeg Free Press. And yeah, we now do know a little bit more as Mitch Gallo has been filling us in.
Yeah, essentially a fallout with Evander Kane and some of his teammates, including Dustin Byfuglien. The tracksuit that he showed up to practice in was put in a shower, and Evander Kane did not show up for their last game. In Vancouver. They tried to reach him via phone. They were not able to until an hour before puck drop. And when they reached him, he told them that he is not playing on that given night.
So on that note, in the nation's capital, doing, playing the fortunate Canadian citizen today with some connections all the way to the Prime Minister's office. They've got the Senators and Capitals on TSN tonight, TSN analyst. Ray Ferraro, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I've had a great day today.
We will revisit that before we say goodbye, okay?
Yep, you bet.
How about this Evander Kane situation?
Well, you know, if there's something going on in Winnipeg, chances are Gary Lawless knows about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I heard Gary talking and saying, you know, is it the 10th time? Is it the, you know, is it a list of transgressions that, you know, this is finally the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will? I don't think for a second that Paul Maurice looked at him coming into the morning skate wearing a tracksuit, and knowing Evander a little bit, to make sure he wasn't wearing like, you know, a $12 tracksuit. I'm sure it was pretty nice, and I'm sure that didn't all of a sudden tweak Paul Maurice and saying, "Hey, I got to sit this guy out of a playoff game." Kane. Has played his rear end off this year. He's been hurt a couple of times. He's playing through injury. He's been physical and fast, and he's a really good player. But there's always murkiness around him. No secret that there's been strained relations between the Jets and Kane. I mean, back when he signed his deal, someone said, "So are you happy to be with the Jets?" And he said something to the effect of, "Well, I'm a Winnipeg Jet right now. We'll see where it goes." I mean, there's been, it's just been rocky all the time. And, you know, Byfuglien throwing the sweatsuit in the water, you know, I understand why he was really sour because those are his clothes. But seriously, it's when you're on a team, these things happen, and it's not bullying. It's not, it just is. And what he should do is wait and make sure he gets Byfuglien back somewhere down the line. Like, that's what I would do. You just wait until it's minus 30 in Winnipeg and take his shoes or take his coat or move his car 4 miles away from the rink. Like, you can always get back. And that's part of the silliness that is part of a team that when you retire, you realize you can't do in the real world.
But I
don't think for a second, guys, that this is a one-off event. I really don't.
Right, and I know you're being a little flippant there, but you have been part of the team dynamic almost your entire life. You're still part
yep.
of one, so you could add some perspective to this. Have you ever been through a situation where, well, I'm sure you have, where a group of you, the core of the team, just got fed up with somebody, no matter how talented he was?
Oh yeah, I don't necessarily want to, you know, well, it's in a book, Sean Pronger's book.
Journeyman.
Yeah. And so in the book, we had this team meeting in LA, and it was really quite heated, and Steve Duchesne didn't want to be in LA, and everybody knew it. And he had just signed a free agent contract, and Duke didn't want to be there, and things weren't working out, and everybody knew it. And so we had a meeting, and I said it, and it was like I don't know, it was probably not the most graceful way of doing it as I look back at it 20 years later, but we were fed up with it, and I just happened to be the guy that said it. And he was a very good player and went on to play several more years.
But what was it like in the immediate aftermath? Is there this uneasiness? Is there this tension? And how do you alleviate that?
You can't alleviate it. It's brutal. Like right now, guys are picking sides, whether they mean to or not, unless everybody is on one side or the other. And from what I know about it is if everybody's on one side, it won't be positive towards Kane. My guess is that there are players on both sides of the fence here. Some that aren't crazy about him, some that like him. And Evander's a really outspoken, I've been around Evander since he was 11 for the most part. That's when I first came across him in Vancouver. And he's always been in the middle of it. And he's proud, and he's got backbone, and he's incredibly stubborn. And that's what they're dealing with right now. And so how do you fix it? Do you have to trade him? God, I can't imagine Winnipeg wants to. Maybe they feel they have to. And if I were an acquiring team, I'd want to make sure that the player that I was acquiring, if it was Evander Kane, I'd want to be reasonably comfortable that at 25, he's going to be more mature than he is at 23. Like that these incidents that keep following him around don't follow him around anymore. Heck, we all did stupid stuff at 23 that we didn't do at 27. And, and even speaking at myself as a player. And, you know, I would suspect if teams are comfortable that that's the case, there will be a list of teams a mile long that would be interested in acquiring Kane.
And of course, in the middle of all this, maybe it would be easier to deal with if the Winnipeg Jets were having an Edmonton Oilers kind of season. But they're in the middle, and they're hanging in there tough. They've had a great year, and they started to slide a little bit. But they're hanging in there in a really difficult playoff race in the Western Conference.
They've had an awesome year. They really have. Paul Maurice has done an excellent job. If Winnipeg makes the playoffs, I think he's got to be considered in Coach of the Year territory. They're aggressive. They're mean. They skate. They're just a little thin. And with Kane out of the lineup, they become even more thin. You know, so he's not going to play, right? Or he didn't play the other night. And, you know, he's been banged up again. And, you know, he's toughed it out for the most part. But I can't imagine this is going to make him say, hey, playing for the Jets is a great idea right now. You know, so aside from the physical that he has to get over, there's a gigantic boulder-sized hurdle emotionally that the team and the player have to get by. And I don't know if they can.
Would it be jumping to conclusions here to suggest with Darren Dreger saying, you know, they're definitely listening at this point, that he has told them, I'm not playing for you guys anymore? Would that be a stretch of the imagination?
I don't think that's a stretch. Yeah. I mean, if this were one incident, one time, then I would say, yeah, that's a stretch. This has followed Kane around for a few years. And the Kane and the Jets, when I say it's followed around, it's followed them both around. There's always been an uncomfortability with them. And even in training camp, there was talk, you know, will they trade Kane in camp? Now, if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff and you've not made any big acquisitions, this is a tough one to start with.
Oof.
Right? You better not get fleeced on this.
Well, Rajon, you know what Rajon Ouellette's first big trade was, huh?
Was that the WA deal?
Yep.
Oh,
no, I'm not comparing, but that's a tough. You know, Cheveldayoff a lot more experience as a GM than Reggie Houle was at the time, but you know, kind of a same kind of hot seat that he's on. Ray Ferraro is in Ottawa. Senators and Capitals on TSN tonight. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo.
So if you're looking at potentially acquiring this player, you're one of the other 29 general managers, right? What's the best way, and you're looking at a guy whose value is probably never going to be lower than this right now. What's the best way to conduct a character assessment to figure out whether he can fit in with your leadership group?
Well, it's pretty tough right now, I think. I mean, in the off season, you could have your clients ask one of the guys about him. You know, you could kind of backdoor check, which I guess you have to do. You talk to previous coaches, you know, go back, talk to Don Hay, played for Don Hay in junior. You know, talk to Claude Noel. It's be pretty easy to find those guys. One's in Kamloops and one's in Vancouver coaching the Giants, right? I'd want to talk to them. What were your dealings like with them? What are you going to do? Hire an investigator? What's he going to do? You know, I mean, after a while, it's hearsay. You know, what did you experience with him? We're thinking of making a deal. And I would guess Don Hay and Claude Noel's phones are going to be busy in the next week as people are trying to find out a little bit more. And I would want to be comfortable. I would want to be relatively sure I had an idea what kind of person I'm getting to. I'd want to do that on any deal. But on this one, there's obviously some, you know, some stones you got to turn over and just find out, because what you see on the ice is not in debate. I mean, that guy can help anybody.
Mitch?
So this image that you portrayed of the locker room choosing sides, some guys like Kane, some guys don't like Kane. What is the coach's role when the dressing room has that type of dynamic surrounding a star player?
Well, you're in kind of tough. I mean, you can't gather everybody around and say, okay, everybody has to like each other, right? Like what you have to do is you get a hold of your leaders, which in Winnipeg are, you know, Blake Wheeler and Brian Little and Andrew Ladd and Bufflin and Mark Stewart and have a chat and say, okay, guys, where are we at on this? Like what's going on? Like I would have called them all in yesterday and said, okay, tell me what exactly happened here, and then get the story. And you can tell the guys, look, lay off. But again, I don't know if this is like, I don't know, has this happened before? My guess is there's been a violation or two or three before, because I can't imagine Maurice taking him out of the lineup because he wore a tracksuit to the morning skate. He would have just fined him.
No, and he was getting a lot of grief. I don't know about, you know, actually in Winnipeg, probably not nearly as much, but outside of Winnipeg, without people knowing what's going on, just speculating. Paul Maurice, a good guy. He's a successful coach. He is not going to humiliate a star young player who's going to play in his own hometown for no reason.
I don't think that for a second. What I thought Winnipeg did, I thought maybe I'd call it clunky, was saying he was a healthy scratch coach's decision. Probably they didn't have anything else to say because they didn't know what was going on till an hour before the game, you know, when they finally got a hold of him. I mean, I guess they could have said, hey, look, he got sick this afternoon, he's not playing, and just kind of pushed it to the next day and tried to figure it out then. Because essentially the story flames got fanned by, wait a minute, he was here this morning, he was talking to the press, he was talking about Willie Desjardins and what a good job Desjardins has done coaching the World Junior team when Evander was a member of it. And then all of a sudden he's not there, he's a healthy scratch. How did that happen? So the story probably was moved along, could have been handled maybe a little differently, but there's not a chance, zero chance that Paul Maurice looked at him walking down the hallway and said, oh, I got to get him out of the lineup.
He's got a tracksuit on. Yeah.
I don't believe it for a second.
So as you suggested, the Sharks are circling. We mentioned Winnipeg's position. You're gonna pull a guy, even as he's been injured, you're gonna pull a star player out where they could conceivably have him for the stretch drive and beyond, and perhaps a deep playoff run. So there's a real balancing act here. It's tenuous. Do you trade him? When you know you can't? Can you get more for him in the summer than you could by March 2nd? What do you think they do here?
Well, they're in a tough spot for sure. Now, I don't know what the conversations are between Kane and Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general manager, but it would be easy to, and I don't know this, so, you know, relax, people. I'm not saying I know this. I'm saying it would be easy to draw a line to Kane saying, I'm not playing for you guys anymore. I'm hurt. And then Cheveldayoff stuck. I think they have to trade him at this point. And I don't think they're going to get more for him necessarily in the summer than they will now, because he's got 3 years left on his deal. You know, you get four playoff trips with Evander Kane if you make the deal for him now. It'd be pretty easy to put a deal together that, you know, involves significant people coming back to Winnipeg, because that's what's going to have to happen. You can do that in a couple of teams. You know, I read this morning that, you know, Matt Beleski's run into a stone wall trying to negotiate with Anaheim. Now, Beleski's got 19 goals. He's never scored double digits before. And so I would think they're going to be really careful about signing him to the money that he probably would like. Now, in Anaheim, they have, they would have Beleski. They would have Devontae Smith-Pelly. They would have Emerson Edom. They have Jakob Silverberg. I mean, that's an organization flush with prospects. How would Evander Kane look alongside a Getzlaff or Kessler?
Well, that's just, you know, almost too scary to contemplate.
And so if I'm Bob Murray, I'm sitting there with that big whiteboard with all my players, and I go, I need to find out more about this, because that guy would interest me in Anaheim.
And Canadiens fans are going, oh, geez.
We were comfortable playing with each other, and it seemed like...
Who goes the other way?
Well, that's yeah.
We were comfortable playing with each other, and it seemed like we needed a spark. And it seems like he's shooting the puck a lot more now, and I'm moving the puck a lot. So hopefully we can both be dual threats.
Kind of dwarfs the story here that Pacioretty and Desharnais have been reunited.
Yeah, it does, except isn't it funny when it, you know, remember I told you to close your eyes when Buffalo was playing?
Yeah.
I didn't mean for the whole game. You know, like for both teams, but... Yeah. It's funny, you know, chemistry goes and it comes and goes, and sometimes it, you know, it stays for a long time, and then, you know, Michel Therrien, you know, had those two together for a long, long period of time, never touched them, then he broke them up for a bit, and so he goes back together. I mean, the Canadiens have, it's not exactly been a juggernaut of late offensively, and so it's a pretty decent move to go back to two guys that like playing together. You know, there's one of the things that you can always hang your hat on when you got to get back, if you got to make a change, is these guys like playing together. Let's give it a go again. Now what do they got here? They got 6 goals in their last 4 games, and Arizona and Buffalo are among those 4 teams.
Right, you know, and Pacioretty and Galchenyuk have scored 4 of those goals.
So you know you got to rattle the balls around a little bit. You know, so you put them back in the bingo machine and move them around, and you know that Desharnais is going to be excited, and Pacioretty likes playing with him. So, you know, like, okay, I got one connection there, so I can go back to that. And so I would say it's not predictable, but it's something that Michel Therrien had in his back pocket here and doesn't have to think too hard about putting them back together.
Before we send Ray back to work here on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, Rod Francis, a member of the Conservative Party, has been dying to discuss this. Go ahead.
Now, I've been to the House of Commons. I've, of course, walked through Spark Street and Bank Street, as a lot of our listeners have, Ray. But you had an experience today that a lot of people, but especially selfishly speaking, I am so envious. You got to sit at the Prime Minister's desk today. Is that true?
You don't sit at it. I stood behind the chair. I was in his office, which was just incredible to walk into. And it's more the ceremonial office, like when leaders are there. You know, they don't do a lot of work on that side because there's just not a lot of room for, you know, because the building's older and smaller. But it made me feel really Canadian today to be in there. Like, I think more people should go to the Hill and see, because I think they would have a greater sense of country. I know it sounds kind of corny, but that's my first time I've ever been there. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. It was just incredible to walk around. Now, to go into the PMO's office and sit there, you know, stand there and, you know, kind of walk around a little bit was incredible. And we ran into him in the hallway. He was headed to his meetings. And, of course, you know, he's a big hockey fan and talked about the Leafs and, you know, just had a really lighthearted hockey chat. And it was awesome. It was incredible. I'm like, I'm standing here talking to the Prime Minister.
Well, you know, there's a new vacancy at Cabinet, right? The Foreign Affairs Minister stepped down on Monday.
Yeah, I would say of all the places I shouldn't be, that would be one of them.
You showed a
lot
of...
Your regular guest, McGuire, should not be in Foreign Affairs either.
I'm glad you got that out there finally.
I mean, could you imagine either one of us trying to negotiate something? That just wouldn't go well.
So while you're standing there, and there's a picture of Ray on Twitter behind the Prime Minister's desk, this hand on that chair, that lovely looking chair that looks so comfortable, were you not tempted to just like lean down and kind of open one of the drawers to see what's in there?
The fellas that were showing us around from the Prime Minister's detail, they made sure that the papers were, you know, like when I moved, there was a bag on the desk when I got there, and they were like, oh, that's gone, this is gone, move over here. Yeah. So I don't know what was on there, maybe a lunch menu, I don't know. I didn't even look down. I honestly don't get nervous around events very often anymore, but I had kind of butterflies today. It impacted me differently and more than I thought it was going to. Like Gord Miller set up the trip, and it was incredible to go. Like, for example, to go into the library, it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in. It was spectacular, and the library is right at the end of the hallway where the gunman came in 3 months ago, and you can see remnants of where the bullets were. I'll never forget that. I saw the room where the Prime Minister was having his meeting. Like, the gunman went right by there. It's a small space. Like, it was incredible. Incredible.
Ray Ferraro's Canadiana moment today in Ottawa, working the Ottawa Senators Washington Capitals game tonight. And so, you see, Rod, you thought only the Liberals have bagmen?
You left it where it was, Ray, right? You left it with the cops?
With the bag?
Yeah.
Hey, I went in, my hands were in my pocket. I didn't move. I was a timid guest, let me put it that way.
Great talking to you as always, Ray Ferraro. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again on Tuesday.
Hey, you guys have a great day too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.